You've got your Bibles, turn over to the book of Daniel, the fourth chapter. The one that's going to work with us and help us, I want you to pray. I don't want nobody working with me in any capacity of the work of God unless you're going to live for Christ. I don't need you. I don't want you. The Bible teaches that they that bear the vessels of the Lord should be holy. And they should depart from iniquity. Let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So then I don't want you, if you're not going to do that, I'll bear with you a lot of times when I see you stumbling and erring. I'll bear with you because I don't want to just push you right out. I know that everybody makes mistakes. And I stretch just as far as I can to keep from severing the tie between us. But when I find out it's willful and you're just not going to do it and you're not going to devote any time or concern to the kingdom of God to perfect your life or perfect your office or to really live an overcoming life, then I mark you off of my list and I'm ready to withdraw from you and forget about you in that sense. Chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. Peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts of upon my bed and the visions of my head trouble me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, behold, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee. Tell me the vision of my dream that I have seen in the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beast of the field had shattered under it. And the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the brows thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said, Hew down the tree, and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his root in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field. And let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation. But thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beast of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, Hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field. And let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field, till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thine sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is not this the great Babylon that I have built? For the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O king Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair was grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellence and majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are true, and his ways, judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. If you notice here, this last part of the reading answers to the fact of why that God, in some of the prophetical utterance or teachings of the prophets, refer to Nebuchadnezzar as Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, who is my servant. Because you see that he changed his heart, he changed his mind. Daniel had instructed him as a preacher of righteousness, preached a message to him and told him to repent, to turn from his iniquity, and that God would have mercy on him. And so it was, he had to go through this great experience before he regarded the man of God's word to the extent that he applied it to his own human person. Whereas God suffered that for his own reason, but he did repent of his sins and give honor to God. Notice this, that Nebuchadnezzar referred to this Daniel as his own God. He referred to the name of his own God, and because he felt like Daniel was wiser than all of the other gods, and that Daniel understood above all the other gods, then he gave Daniel the name of his God. He felt like Daniel was wiser than all the soothsayers, all the magicians, and all of the people that were supposed to be able to tell him about the great mysteries of the world beyond. Believing that Daniel was such, he named Daniel after his God. Whereas it is commonly believed that later this might have led to a great problem, even when the three Hebrew children was commanded to worship the golden idol. For it could very well have been the image might have been reflecting Daniel in that that was the God of the kingdom. But there's one thing for sure, God visited Nebuchadnezzar. And the man of God gave the word of God, and the word of God came to pass. Whereas he said concerning this, that this vision, this interpretation is in the behalf of your enemies. Your enemies are going to be able to rejoice over the fact that God is going to bring you down, Nebuchadnezzar. So then the interpretation that I'll be under your enemies is going to be a time of rejoicing, because Nebuchadnezzar was that great head of gold throughout the earth. No king was like Nebuchadnezzar. God had even given Israel into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. According to the prophecy of the prophet, 70 years thou shalt be in Babylon. Then after this, ye shall come out. God shall bring thee out with a mighty arm. And then ye shall build the walls back. Whereas it came to pass, as Daniel prayed, Daniel saw the vision of it. It came to pass in the days of King Artaxerxes. It came to pass in Nehemiah. Took them out and built the walls back. But this great Nebuchadnezzar, this great king, great and powerful, reaching throughout all of the land and the world, he was a great and mighty, powerful king. Yet the word of the man of God intervened in the political matters. The man of God was the one who was sought when things needed interpretation. It was in this matter that Daniel was sought. And whereas this was just a little different from the thing that God spoke to us, because when God spoke to us, it was in the behalf of the man that was already in trouble. Whereas when God spoke to Daniel, this man was not in trouble. And it was to the contrary that he should be in trouble from the prophecy. So then we see that God works everything after the counsel of his own will. No matter what the days are, no matter what the seasons are, God works everything the same. I remember when I had the vision concerning something that I was to tell the government, something that I had put forward that would straighten the affairs out, that would cause things to be right. And I passed it on through some of the dignitaries. And it worked, and it really straightened the matter out. But in the vision, there was no credit given unto me in the natural, nor to my brethren. But in the vision, it was positive that God had told me what to do, to tell them what to do, and they took it from the point of the one that I had communed with, and thus the glory of the thing in the natural went to them. And one of the things that it had to do with, no doubt, was this very thing that we spoke concerning
the senator, because it has been just recently that the president has accepted at least one or two proposals of the senator, two of the outstanding proposals that has been placed before Congress that is going to help straighten the matter of the government out. They're outstanding. I read one of them myself. But the thing is, God is still working with you. God is still working with me. And the thing that we are interested in is to do the will of God. Isn't that right? We want to do the will of God. Our interest is in God. That's what we're interested in, is God. We're not interested in trying to get a write-up, or we're not interested in trying to get out there. What we're trying to do is to please the God of heaven who made us, because we know that we are the sons of God. You know, a millionaire is not interested in trying to prove to anyone that he is a millionaire. Why should he try to prove to anyone that he is a millionaire? He doesn't have to prove anything. He knows that he is a millionaire. But you know, people who doesn't have very much money, that wants to live in the high bracket and have prestige, are always trying to prove something to somebody about what they got. It's just the same way in the spiritual. If you've got something in the spiritual, you don't have to go around trying to prove to somebody what you got, or that you got something that somebody did not give you, or you got this on your own and this thing belongs to you so that they'll know that this is yours. Brother or sister, if God gives you a vision, if God gives you a spiritual revelation, if God gives you an understanding, if God gives you something, I want you to know that everybody that loves Christ will follow after you. You won't have to try to tell anybody. You won't have to try to prove to anybody. There'll be people that will be after you all the time to try to get what you got. If you are a millionaire, you won't have to advertise telling people that you are a millionaire. There'll be somebody trying to sell you something every day in the week that they can find a way to get to you. So then, we need to realize that what we're wanting to do is to please God. I want to please God, don't you? I'm not looking for the things of this world. My cup runs over. God blesses me. I did not start out looking for the things of this world. I started out looking for Jesus, seeking Jesus. And God has graciously added all that I need and more unto me. The Lord stands with me. I do not have to seek the things of this world, because God has added those things unto me. But what I do want to do is please God. I must go before the great throne of judgment one day, and I must stand there just as you or any other person. And I must answer to God for everything that I do and everything that I say. And I want to be sure that in that hour that I have done everything that's possible for Christ Jesus. I don't want to look back in sorrow. I don't want to look back and say, well, I could have, but I didn't. I want to do everything I possibly can at this moment for God while I'm traveling through this life. While my pilgrimage is here, I want to do all that I can for God. And I'm trying my best to do that. That's what you need to do. We shouldn't do as Nebuchadnezzar done. Look at all of what my wisdom has gotten me. Look at all these great things that I have accomplished. I still declare today that that's the trouble with America right now. That's the trouble. God gave us America. God took the people in the minority. God took a few people in the old country and brought them over here. And he gave this country to them. God did it and made a great empire. He raised up a great commonwealth, even in a wilderness in that day.
as he did with Moses. He did it because people looked to God. God did that. But when we established our seminaries and we established our colleges and we established our schools, the devil thought, now this is a great thing. Look at all of the lights and the flicker and the glitter and the glamour of Broadway. Look at California and the stardom and all the money and the powers and all of the baseball players and the football players. And he thought, now I've got to cash in on this. I've got to cash in on this. And when he saw the great powers of America, when he realized the greatness of America, he wasn't going to let any glory go to God. And so he began to indoctrinate, and he began to pull, and he began to twist, and he began to tug until he got people to give the professors the glory. Until he could turn all the glory toward the colleges. Turn all the glory toward the money. So then it upset God, and God turned the professors into a bunch of perverts. Somebody say, I love Jesus. That's the truth. That's what the papers are publishing. God turned the great scholars of the college into beatniks, streaking without any clothing. Turned them into dope addicts to sit around like a bunch of Indians that didn't have any understanding, savages, to puff on a weed all night long in their smoking circles, they call it. God caused America to get to the place to where she can't even balance her own budget. No one can balance it. Even Jimmy hasn't been able to do it. With all of his diligence, God has let her dollar become worthless. Now then, who gets the glory? The dollar is no more good. Education is no more good. Even their own leaders made the statement that the educational system was a cesspool of iniquity. Therefore, brothers and sisters, who's going to get the glory for it? God said, Nebuchadnezzar, when I put you out in the field like a beast, like a common beast, and I let your hair grow out like a bunch of hippies, as we say, and your fingernails grow out like the claws of some of these women that run around in our day, if we want to bring it down to a present day level, that looked like a bunch of cats. When I do this, then you'll know that God rules in the kingdom. Then you'll understand. Then you'll understand that God rules in the affairs of mankind. And you'll know that God is the great king and God is the supreme one. Brother, sister, let me tell you something. God doesn't frown on the president. God doesn't frown on dignitaries. As a matter of fact, God respects the House of Parliament because God raises it up. God raises up men like Washington and Lincoln. God raises up men that are willing to listen. God has raised up great men down through the years, great kings. God doesn't frown on great statesmen. God raises those men up, and we're supposed to honor them, and we're not supposed to speak evil of them. Because God respects them. God made them our rulers. And not only that, but as the world continues on, even in the millennium, even in the great celestial, there are going to be kings. There's going to be rulers. He said to the 12 apostles, when I sit to judge, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones beside me, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Also, when John beheld Christ sitting upon the throne, he also saw 24 elders sitting round about, and these 24 elders also had crowns, and the Bible said they were kings, and they threw their crowns down at his feet. God doesn't frown on dignitaries. But brother and sister, when they fail to throw their crowns down at Christ's feet, when they fail to give him glory, saying that he is Lord of lords and King of kings, then God frowns on them. Because there is but one Lord of lords, one King of kings. His name is Jesus. So then, all the rest
will fall at his feet to worship him and to give him glory, all of the glory. We sing the little song and we will give the glory to Jesus. And Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ. Therefore, when great kings, when great leaders, when queens and great powers fail to acknowledge the Lord and fail to point their people to God, then they lose their place of preeminence. God will give you the place of preeminence. He will let you be ruler among the people. But brother, though you be their king, as David was and greatly beloved, though you be their leader, though you be their champion, though you be their hero, yet there's one thing that God demands, and that is God is going to be their God, and He alone is going to be their God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, he said. I am God, and besides me I know of no other. I will not give my glory to another. There is but one God. His name is Jesus. And we ought to worship God, the Holy Spirit, through the lovely name of Jesus. When I think about this, it thrills my heart. I am not thrilled over the fact that America is falling. I'm not thrilled over the fact that our schools are corrupted. What kind of a foolish man or foolish woman would rejoice over the fact that such a great empire for God, such a great nation, is going down in defeat? Only a fool could be rejoicing over that. Only a madman like Nero that fiddled while Rome burned could rejoice over a thing like that. I can't rejoice over that. When I see lives corrupted and I see great institutions turned into cesspools of iniquity, I can't rejoice over that. When I see the government utterly collapsing because they won't call on the name of Jesus, I can't rejoice over that. And I see racial problems and I see people of all kinds striving and struggling and fighting with each other. I can't rejoice over that. My brother, when God made us one people to love and to honor and to stand by Him and our brotherhood. But I'll tell you one thing. There is no unity without God. There is no strength without God. There is no wealth without God. There's no power without God. There is nothing without God. There is no life without God. And the quicker that you and the quicker that I learn that God is everything, God is the preeminence, then that's the quicker that we're going to have a great nation. That's just how quick we're going to have Christ to intervene in men's affairs and men's matters. Why is it today that we can't turn to God? Why is it that we have to be hypocritical? Why is it that we have to be religious? Why is it that we come to church and make believe? Why is it we don't admit the truth? Why is it that hundreds of thousands and millions of people around the earth have to be religious instead of confessing the Christ and confessing the truth? My brother and sister, there is but one God. There is but one God. You say, well, I believe there's one God. But then you have the wrong name for Him. Somebody would say, well, what do you mean, Brother Pike? One God? Who is it? Who is the one God? Somebody would say, well, the one God is God. The one God is the Son. The one God is the Father. The one God is the Holy Ghost. The one God is Mohammedan. The one God is Confucius. The one God is Allah. But brother, the one God is Jesus. Why do you say Jesus, Brother Pike? Because no other man ever went to the grave and raised himself up but Jesus. There is no history in any kind of religion. There's not a religious sect in the world today that can show where anybody ever died, laid down their life of their own accord, and picked it back up of their own accord. Other than Jesus. Only God could do that. If anybody else could do it, why is it that all down through the years, no one else ever did it? Only God could do that. Only God could do that. And then why does the Bible tell us? That there is salvation in none other name except the name of Jesus. There is salvation in none other name except the name of Jesus Christ. Is that right? Christ, in the name of the Lord, there is salvation. And the Bible said, salvation or remission of sins shall be taught in His name, beginning at Jerusalem, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Therefore, we preach not ourselves, but Christ, Paul said. We do not preach another God, we preach Jesus. Because it is Jesus that is resurrected from the dead. It is Jesus that has the power to save you. It is Jesus, His name. I emphasize His name. A lot of times people would say, Brother Pike, why then do you emphasize the name of Jesus? The same reason that Nebuchadnezzar emphasized the name of Belteshazzar. There was no other man in that day like Belteshazzar. He said, Belteshazzar, I know that there is no other man in the earth like you. I know that there is no other man living in whom the Spirit of the gods is in like you. And I've got you a special name, and that's the name of my God. There ain't nobody like Jesus. And my brother, that's why that I got him a special name. His name is Jesus. The Bible said that His name shall be called Jesus. For remission of sin is in none other name. And it shall be taught in the name of Jesus, beginning at Jerusalem, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Therefore, we call His name Jesus. When the Spirit of God answers you, He answers through the name Jesus. When the Heavenly Father hears you, He hears you through the name of Jesus. If you have salvation, my brother, you must have it through the name of Jesus. For it is through the name of Christ Jesus that we have salvation. Isn't that the truth? It is when we believe on the name of the Lord that we then can have truth, and that we then can have salvation. When we believe on the name of the Lord, it is then that we're able to resurrect from the dead, and not until then. It is when we believe on the name of the Lord. Somebody would say, but what has the name got to do with it, Brother Pike? Why not just say Him? How are you going to say who He is without naming Him? I can say it's Him, or it's her, or it's them, or they're the ones. But that don't tell me anything. I can say it's that king of the other king or some king. I can say it's a president, or it's some president somewhere. That doesn't tell me anything. I can say, well, it's his father or her son or their daughter, or his child, but that doesn't tell me anything. I must identify the blood. I must identify the atonement. I must identify Him. According to the law, when you speak a man's name, you bring him present. Jesus said, according to His law, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. If the laws of God say that the name of Jesus is present, or that is that the Lord Himself is present, because three hath gathered together in the name of the Lord, then that means the power of remission, salvation, authority. In that the Bible said they cast out devils in His name. In that this is true, then when you call His name, that means, brother, sister, that He is present, that He will vindicate, that He will stand by what He is doing. Nebuchadnezzar did not have the signs and wonders of today. So far as the healings and the miracles, Daniel did not do those things. But God said it would be vindicated with signs and wonders. Therefore, Nebuchadnezzar said the great signs and wonders of God, because of what happened to him, of the restoration, of the visions, of the things that he saw that happened. Though it was not the deliverance and healing of the sick, yet it still was the great miraculous of God in the things that Joshua done and Moses done and others did in that time, and the great phenomenons and expressions and vindications of those things that came to pass. Now then, he called him Belteshazzar because he wanted to separate him from all others by name. He did not say, send me the magicians nor the soothsayers, because who would have known that was Daniel? He did not do that. He said, Belteshazzar. Send me Belteshazzar, for there is no other person in the world today in whom the spirit of the gods is in like Belteshazzar. He said, Belteshazzar, I've got confidence in you. All the rest can't do it, but I know you're going to do it. I've got respect for you. Not only that, brothers, but he had a fear of him too. Did you know that? Yes, sir. He had a fear. You say, why do you say that? Because when he called for those magicians and those soothsayers, and they said, why? Why, we can't do this. You know, he didn't tarry, did he? On one occasion there when he said, you tell me that dream, I'll have all of you slain if you don't tell me. Remember? He said, you're just trying to gain a little time. I'll kill the whole bunch of you. He didn't talk that way to Daniel. He didn't talk that way to Daniel. He said, I just don't let the thing trouble you. Daniel was stunned for a whole hour. He said, it's okay, don't worry about it. I know you'll get the answer. You understand what I'm saying? There was the fear of God. He knew that he was different. He knew that God was in his life. And oh, my brother and sister, he knew that before Daniel ever interpreted his dream. He said that before Daniel ever interpreted that dream. He said, I know God's in you. My brother and sister, let me tell you something. The Bible said God will put the fear of you upon all the peoples of the earth, and they will be afraid of you because you are called by my name. Therefore, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You're the ark of God's testimony, and he that toucheth you toucheth God's anointed, and God will slay the man that toucheth you. Oh, we should be afraid. We should fear. We should stand in awe of the greatness of God. Ye are the sons and daughters of the living God. The world will come and bow down at your feet and know that God hath loved you. You love Jesus? We today need to get a hold of ourselves, realize our responsibility. We need to get a hold of ourselves and realize that this thing is the name of Jesus Christ. That we must talk about the name. They preach the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you don't talk about the name of Jesus Christ, you're not doing God a service at all. He said, I've not chosen you because you're great people. He said, you're the fewest. I've not chosen you because you're righteous people. He said, you're so rebellious. But I have chosen you to make a name for myself, he said. I've chosen you to make a name for myself. God wants a name in this world. God wants a name in this world. Is that right? Jesus sought to make of himself no reputation. All he did was manifest the Father's name. Isn't that right? He manifested the Father's name. And brother, sister, God wants to make a name for himself. But the devil will say, let's have church. Let's pray to the Father. Let's pray to the Son. Oh, let's pray to the Holy Ghost. Let's do anything, but don't mess with that name. Why? Because when you call a name, that brings another king into the picture. Isn't that right? See, as long as it's the king's name over here, as long as it's the king's name over yonder, the king doesn't get upset. But you name another man's name, then you bring another figure into the picture. And the Bible said, tidings out of the east shall trouble him. Isn't that right? Because there's going to be another name mentioned. What is that name? Oh, they get all around it. The Bible said the builders, speaking of the preachers, speaking of the churches, that they've rejected the cornerstone. That is the name Jesus that's become the head of the corner. They've rejected it. Isn't that right? But the Bible said in the days of the 10 toes that this little stone was hewed out of the mountain without hands. And it came rolling down through Babylon, tearing down the kingdoms of the world. And it grew until it filled all of the earth. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Now that couldn't be anything somebody said but Gideon, the sword of the Lord in Gideon. That barley loaf. I'll tell you what, that couldn't be anything but the revelation of Jesus Christ. That couldn't be anything but Jesus. That's going to grow till it fills all the earth. That couldn't be anything but His kingdom. That couldn't be anything but His government. That couldn't be anything but His name. I say today that the name of Jesus is going to grow and grow and grow until it's going to be heard around the world. And the Bible said everything in heaven and everything in the earth and everything beneath the earth cried out honor and glory and praise unto the name of the Lord. They're all going to bow down. They're all going to give glory. They're all going to give honor. All kings. Not just these that live in this day, my friend. Not just those. But according to the Bible, all that ever lived since the world ever was, they're going to stand up, every king from Babylon on down. And they're going to say, that's Him. That's Him. That's Him. Hallelujah. He's the one. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? I feel the Spirit of God. And the Bible said while Peter spake, the Holy Ghost fell on them and heard the word. Some of you can't hear the word. Hallelujah! You don't have ears to hear, but the Bible said, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And the Holy Ghost fell upon them that heard the words of Peter. You love Jesus? My, I tell you, I'm just getting started. We could go on and on and on talking about this good old way. Praise God. I want you to stand with me. I took up quite a bit of time in my earlier talking to you, briefing you just a little bit on what we're doing. But brother and sister, Belteshazzar, they called him by name because he was the one in whom the spirit of the gods was in. Belteshazzar was God in his day to those people. Moses was God in his day to those people. Abraham was God in his day to those people. Elijah was God in his day to those people. Not that there is not a God in that. There is a true and a living God. God is a spirit. But God has a human body for every age. Not that every human body of every age is to be the preeminent one to sit upon the throne. Only in the sense that they are a member of His body. In that they are one. It is God in Jesus. Down through the ages. Manifesting Himself through the Son. He has spoken unto us in this latter time by the Son. That is, these last days it is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, all of them pointed to this as God behind the badger skin. Today, it is not God behind the badger skin today as it was in that day. It was God that day behind the badger skin as a prophet. Brother Jim is not behind the badger skin today. He was God that went into the heart of men and God that overshadowed the people. But it's not God behind the human being today. We are bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. We are today the sons of the living God. We're His own body. We're His own bone. We're His own flesh. His glory He will not give to another, but we are not another. We are His own. Therefore the Bible said, Father, glorify these with the same glory that we had, that I had with thee before the world ever was. Therefore we are today not as the spirit that is within a veil behind the badger skin that was rent at Calvary. But we are as the body of the Lord Jesus, the manifested God that you can see. Let your light so shine, for the greater light is of the latter house. The greater light is of the latter house.
which is the light of the world, grace. Therefore, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Not behind a badge of skin, but today he is speaking to you, not from a prophet behind a badge of skin, but the Bible said ye shall all be taught of God. All right, it's not you speaking, but the Heavenly Father speaking from within you, God speaking from within his temple, that all the world keeps silent. Brethren, consider the things that I say. Paul said, you did run well. What hath hindered thee? Lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset you, and run with patience the race that is set before you. The gift of God is eternal life. You can have it if you want it. To as many as believe, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Who are they? To as many as believed? No. To as many as believed on his name. So then the secret is not to believe, but rather to believe on his name. All right. May the Lord bless you. Let's sing a little chorus together. Let's sing the little chorus, I need thee, Lord, I need thee. I think of that chorus so often because if anybody ever needed Jesus, I need Jesus. If anybody ever needed a helping hand, I need a helping hand. I hunger and I thirst after the Lord. And David said, O Lord, my heart panteth after thee. My heart literally panteth after thee. As the heart does the water brook. On a hot day, when the heart of the deer is running across the acreage or the plains, thirsty, thirsty, can't hardly bear it till it can get to the water hole. David said, I'm likened unto that, Lord. My heart paineth after thee like the heart doth the water brook. He that hungers and he that thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Turn, O Nebuchadnezzar, to righteousness and depart from iniquity, that God may lengthen your days and that God may bless you and that God may help you. This is what we need to do. Let's sing this little chorus. I need thee, Lord. I need thee every hour. I need thee. I need thee now, sweet Jesus. Oh, how I need thee. Sing it like this now. While we're singing, I want thee, Lord. I want thee every hour. While we're singing that, I want you to search your hearts. Search your hearts. See if you really want God. You know you want something. You want to get out of here. You want the things of the world. You want the ways of your own human desire. You want money. You want fame. You want popularity. You want convenience. You want education. You want comfort. You want frolic. You want pleasure. You want leisure. You want something. What do you want? Position in life? To be a celebrity? Or do you really want Jesus? Do you really want Jesus? All the other is going to perish. Like a garment, they all shall be folded up, wax old. But thou, O son, and he said this unto the son, thou, O son, ye who are bone of his bone, and ye who are flesh of his flesh, ye that overcome, ye shall sit down in the throne with me. For heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool.
Thou, O Son, though they all shall wax old, the dignitaries, the great movie stars, the great athletes, all of them shall wax old, the great millionaires. But Thou, O Son, Thy kingdom is from everlasting to everlasting. Thy kingdom is eternal, and Thy kingdom is forever. For ye, as a man taketh a garment and foldeth it up, ye shall fold them up, and ye shall lay them away. But Thou, O Son, Thou art established forever, forever. Thy kingdom, Thy wealth, Thy power, Thy prestige, Thy majesty, Thy glory. You love Jesus? You love Jesus? They that wait upon my Lord shall renew their